Anybody got a question? Biblical question, eh? Talking about the worldly problem. I got a lot of questions about the world, but I'll get the answer to that when I meet the Lord.
Amen.
So, that is in the air.
Yeah. I had a child ask me a question, and I couldn't answer.
And there was a lot of them I can't answer.
It was funny that the child would ask me who was the first person that died for preaching the gospel.
Do what now?
She asked me who was the first person that was killed for preaching.
It's according to
whether it was the gospel or how far it's back, but that was the question she asked. Yeah.
It would be according to what gospel he's talking about.
Yeah.
You see, just because you see the word gospel, you got to know what gospel you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suspect Jesus Christ was the first one to get killed for preaching the gospel that he preached.
Yeah.
Gospel of the kingdom. They rejected him. They said, we'll have no king but Caesar. Now, that gospel is not the same gospel that we preach. So, you'd have to get him to clarify what gospel is he talking about before you could even try to give him an answer, you see. Because you go back in the Old Testament, a lot of them Old Testament prophets were killed. The Lord even talked about it. He said, I sent unto you prophets and wise men, and said scribes, and you killed them and crucified them. So you'd have to clarify what gospel he's wanting to know about. Because there's been death all the way. And I suspect the first person that you really could say that was killed for false gospel would be Cain. Now, you ever really think about that? Why was Cain killed? Excuse me, Abel. Why was Abel killed by Cain? Why did Cain kill Abel?
He was jealous.
He was jealous.
It was over jealousy. God accepted Abel's worship, his sacrifice. Cain brought a sacrifice of his own doings, and God wouldn't accept it. So Cain got jealous of Abel's sacrifice, and the Lord accepting it, and Cain killed Abel. So Cain is the, and you'll find him, I think it's in Jude, that Cain is of that wicked one. So from day one, any gospel that's been preached in the dispensation of the time that it's been given to, people have been persecuted and killed for it. But I would suspect that Abel would be the first one. If you went all the way back to Genesis, you see. Yeah. But you'd have to clarify what gospel they're talking about. Because people have been persecuted for years. Missionaries have been killed for it. But what were some of these missionaries preaching? Some of them were preaching the gospel of the king. And so you have to clarify. Okay, y'all. Anything else? Art, if you will, join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for this time that we have now this morning to study your word, and we ask you, Lord, to be with us and lead us by your spirit and teach us the things we need to know. And Father, let us not be concerned about the things we can't understand, but let us simply believe you mean what you say. And Father, we ask you this morning to especially be with those that are sick. We ask you to comfort these people and to heal them according to thy will. And Father, we ask you this morning to get honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Would you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2? 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to talk to you about a subject that we've had before, but maybe in a little different light. But what I want to start off in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, Paul said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And he goes on to say that, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now, when you talk about the gospel, there's more than one gospel in your Bible. So the gospel that Paul preached, he wrote it down in Romans to Philemon, and we're told to consider what Paul says, and God gives us understanding in some things. So I know that when Paul trained those who first trusted in Christ, and I'm not hung up on this issue of who first trusted and who trusted after you heard the word of truth. Don't get me wrong about this, but I think it's very important today to understand this and to see this. And when I get through here this morning, you'll understand why I'm saying this. Those who first trusted in Christ, Paul went to them and he preached to them that Christ had died for their sins according to the Scriptures. Well, I can't do that for those who, after they heard the word of truth, trusted that Jesus Christ had died for their sins also. And that was a mystery that was hid in God until revealed to Paul in Acts chapter 18 in the temple. And in Acts 22, when Paul told those Jews and those leaders and those spiritual people back there that he was going to go to these Gentiles over here that were not in the covenants of promise, they said, away with such a fellow from the earth. It's not fit that he should live. Y'all come on in. We can make room for you.
Come on, young lady. I'll put you in your chair.
Good to see y'all.
How you doing? Come on right there. Yes, I can sit over here. You want to sit here?
No.
You want to sit
no,
here?
No, you got enough? Okay, we're in 2 Timothy chapter 2 is where we started here. But you got to remember when Paul told those people that he was going to go to these Gentiles that were not in the covenants of promise, such as us, Paul became a prisoner from that point on. And he became a prisoner in Acts chapter 22. Now, Paul taught and trained these people here that first trusted in Christ some things that he did not teach these people over here. Now, the one I want to look at this morning is water baptism. There's a big issue about water baptism. Now, go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Do we need to baptize with water today? Let's just find out what the Lord says about it. You know, you can get all kind of opinions about it. And by the way, before we go too far in this thing, in case I forget to tell you, John, do y'all know what John's last name is? Do you? You know what he's commonly called? John the Baptist. But does he have a last name? Do you know who his daddy was?
Zacharias.
Do you know what Zacharias' last name is? I have no idea. Do you know that most Baptist people that claim that you are not baptized properly unless you're baptized by an ordained Baptist minister? Do y'all know that Jesus Christ would not be accepted in a Baptist pulpit? You know why? He was baptized, wasn't he? Hold Ephesians chapter 4 and go with me to Matthew chapter 3. Go to Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3. Verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist. There he is. That's his last name. He's John the Baptist. You know why he's called a Baptist? He baptizes. Beloved, I don't care if you call yourself a Catholic, a Methodist, a Jehovah's Witness, or whatever you, a Mormon, or whatever you claim to be. If you baptize with water, you are a Baptist. Baptist means we baptize. You understand? Okay. I'm not a Baptist. I don't baptize. You know why? I can't. The Holy Spirit does the baptizing today. Not the preacher. Now, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, you'll find this Isaiah chapter 40. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and the meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out unto him Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Do y'all know the proper way of baptizing? Y'all know what baptizing is for, don't you? It's for cleansing. I take a bath every Saturday night, whether I need one or not, and I use a little bit of soap and water. It's for cleansing. Next Saturday, I have to do it again for cleansing. Some of us take more than one bath. Do y'all know the proper way of baptizing according to the scriptures? With running water. Running water. Let me show you how you know that. Go to back in the Old Testament to Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Chapter 14. In Genesis, Leviticus chapter 14, let's start in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. I've read that to let you see what cleansing is. It has to do with water. Now, go over to verse 5. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. That's the proper way of baptizing, is with running water. Well, what about sprinkling? That ain't running water. What about going down into a basket tree? That ain't running water. Now, go to chapter 15 while you're here. Chapter 15. Verse 13, and when he that hath an issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in what? Running water. Running water, and he shall be clean. Go back to Matthew chapter 3. And by the way, anybody show me in the 1611 King James Bible where John the Baptist ever got baptized? Can you? Well, he's called the first Baptist. He baptized Jesus Christ. The Baptist people say if you're not baptized by an ordained Baptist minister, you're baptized with alien baptism. Was Jesus Christ baptized with an alien baptism? I think not. Go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. That's John. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Well, there's two baptisms right there, isn't there? Well, we've already seen John baptized with water. That's one. There's two, and there's three. Three baptisms that he's talked about right here in this chapter, right here. Water, Holy Ghost, and fire. The Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, told them 12 in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that he was going to go away and he would send down the Comforter. In Acts chapter 2, 12 men were baptized with the Holy Ghost. No such term in the King James Bible, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is somebody's cliche that they started years ago. You are not baptized of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the baptizer in Acts 2, and he baptized 12 men. No women received the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. No Gentiles, all Jews in Acts chapter 2. There's a Gentile in the context there. The Lord baptized them with the Holy Ghost. This fire baptism will be over here at the second advent. After the tribulation, the church, the body of Christ is raptured out of here. The tribulation period will start. You'll have 7 years of Jacob's trouble. The Antichrist will be revealed. At the end of this, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Lord will consume this character with the brightness of his coming. Our God, Hebrews says, our God is a consuming fire. Anytime they built an altar back here and put a sacrifice on it, so same as Abel, fire came down and accepted that sacrifice. If it was of God. If it wasn't, no fire. But you see, this character here, after the church, now this is the church, the body of Christ. We're members of his body, spiritually baptized in the Jesus Christ's body. Now, when this character is revealed over here, he has power to make fire come down from heaven and do all sorts of miracles and wonders. You know why? To deceive people. God said, I'm going to send you a strong delusion, you that are in this dispensation in here, that don't receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, don't believe that Christ died for all of your sins, and your confidence is in that and that alone, that is not in your works, it's not in your religious system. There ain't no religious system in this world can save you. The only thing that can save you is what Jesus Christ did at Calvary when he died for all your sins at Calvary. You cannot be saved by joining the church. That will not save you. Now, it may teach you some good practical lifestyles, but it won't save you. You understand? Now, when John baptized these people in Matthew chapter 3, do y'all know what he said to them? Go back to Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. But when he, John, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, what is John's baptism? Water. Okay? John baptized with water. He said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come. The wrath is over here in the tribulation. After the church, the body of Christ is raptured out of here. According to Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, when Jesus Christ was resurrected, he delivered us, the body. The body of believers that have trusted Christ as their personal Savior, that are spiritually baptized into this body, he delivered us from the wrath to come, not out of it. Jacob, according to Jeremiah 31, will be saved out of it. Those that turn from transgression in Jacob, he said, this is my covenant, the new covenant, if you please. This is my covenant unto them when I'll take away their sins. Well, our sins are already done away with at Calvary. Jesus Christ became what I am at Calvary and what you are at Calvary. And he died because of me. And he was resurrected for my justification. You understand? All right. Now, Matthew chapter 3. These people were being baptized to flee from this wrath to come. They didn't know anything about this time in Romans to Philemon that was committed to the Apostle Paul. Nobody knew anything about it. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. What are they repenting of? Their sins. Go back to the verse of 6. And were baptized of him in Jordan doing what? Confessing their sins. Beloved, my sins are gone.
Amen.
My sins, I ain't got none to confess. They're gone. Jesus Christ became my sin. Now, in verse 12, there's something I want you to see here. In verse 12, whose fan, that's to Jesus Christ, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garners, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. At the second coming over here, you understand? After the tribulation, after the rapture of the church, the tribulation, second coming. Now, watch what he says here. Then cometh Jesus, verse 13, Matthew 3, 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Did Jesus Christ baptize John?
No.
No, he did not. Well, beloved, don't somebody tell you you got to be baptized by an ordained Church of Christ or ordained Baptist preacher before you can be saved. Just yawn real big and say you're confused. You're not teaching the Word of God right. He's teaching you wrong.
That's right.
If somebody tells you that you've got to be baptized to be saved, just yawn real big and pray for him. Because he's teaching wrong. Now, if Jesus Christ baptized, is Jesus Christ baptized? Huh? Did John baptize Jesus Christ? Okay. I want you to remember this. Now, go back to Ephesians. Are you holding Ephesians chapter 4? You're holding Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to consider what Paul says now. Now, we've already seen three baptisms. Water and Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, either one is both the same, and fire. We've already seen three baptisms, haven't we? Do y'all know what the fourth one is?
Spiritual.
I'm going to show you in just a minute. Now, let's see what Paul says about baptism. Ephesians 4, verse 5. One Lord, one faith. Four baptisms? Three? What about two?
One baptism.
Well, now, which one is it? How are we going to figure this thing out? You know, it ain't hard to figure it out if you consider what Paul says. And Paul told you, said, the Lord give you understanding in all things. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Don't let anybody ever. And by the way, do y'all know what water baptism does? It separates. You know what Paul told you? What the Lord told you through Paul? Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In other words, God Almighty made unity, one unit, one body of believers. How? By water baptism? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Pay attention to the words. For by one, what?
Spirit.
That's a capital S. That's by the Holy Spirit. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now, verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ. And members in particular. How did you become a member of the body of Christ? By water baptism? How? One Spirit. Paul said there's one baptism. What is it? It's Spirit.
Spirit.
Now, watch what happens. Let's take up the other side of this thing. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Some people will say, well, didn't Paul baptize? You believe in following Paul? Yes, I do. I believe in following Paul as Paul followed Christ. You understand? I can't follow Paul in his earthly ministry in the book of Acts, because I can't do the miracles and the signs and the wonders and all that Paul did. Those are gone. Israel's become Lo-Am now, not God's people, so all the signs and wonders are over with. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. Well, water baptism divides. If you don't believe it does, you go to a Baptist church, and where a family's sitting over here that have not been baptized by an ordained Baptist minister, they'll let you join that church, they'll let you come and worship with them, but they will not let you teach Sunday school class or do anything as far as working in the church. I know firsthand about that. That's not hearsay, that's no-so. And if you have been baptized in a Baptist church and you move from one town to another, you got a little letter that you can take and show it to that Baptist church over here, and they'll accept you. You know they wouldn't accept the Lord Jesus Christ because he was not baptized by an ordained Baptist preacher? John, no, you can't show me nowhere where John was ever baptized. You can't show me where John ever did any kind of miracle. And you know what? John was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. The only man you know that way.
Yes, sir.
When Jesus Christ was baptized, John saw the Holy Spirit descending upon him. You understand? Now, watch what Paul says here. Verse 11. For it hath been declared to me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Well, there still are today. Over water baptism, confessing your sins, and walking the aisle for Jesus, and joining the church, paying your tithes, all this kind of stuff that belonged to Israel, they're trying to put it in the church, the body of Christ, and it don't belong there. This is a spiritual body, a spiritual church. This spiritual body, this spiritual church, made up of believers that God foreknew before the foundation of the world, when Jesus Christ was resurrected, they were resurrected with him. Not after him, with him. You understand? They are resurrected with him based on God's foreknowledge. Knowing that whether you would trust Christ as your Savior or not, and God knows if you're sitting here and you have never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, God knows that. So what in the world are you waiting on? You know what? When the body's full, there ain't no need of us staying here anymore. God take us out of here, then he can deal with Israel in the Hebrew epistles, Hebrews through Revelation. And they don't have anything to do with the church, the body of Christ. Paul did not write the book of Hebrews, and it especially ain't written to the church, the body of Christ. This is about a priesthood in here, and a holy priesthood in here. Israel had a priesthood back here. We don't have a priesthood. We got a head. We're a body. We got a head. Jesus Christ is that head. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13. Well, I apologize. Verse 12. Now this I say. Now Paul said, consider what I say. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. And if you don't know who that Cephas is, that's John the Baptist. You'll find that in John 1, 40. Excuse me. That's Peter. What did I put John in that? Thank you. That is Peter, and you'll find that in John chapter 1, verse 42, where Jesus Christ calls him Cephas. Now, and I of Christ. Verse 13, is Christ divided? Well, he's not. Is Paul crucified for you? No. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Now, did Paul baptize some? Did he? Well, are we supposed to follow Paul in baptism? How many baptisms did Paul say there are?
One.
Which one did we see?
Spirit.
Spiritual. By one Spirit. Are we all believers? All the believers are baptized into one body. And it don't matter if you're a Jew, Gentile, bond free, male or female, we're all one in Christ. You understand? One. It's like my fingers and my toes and my feet and my ears and my eyes, and that's what Paul gives you, the anatomy of it. It's all many members, yet one body. Okay? Now, let's see if we can figure this thing out. Verse 14, I thank God to baptize none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Does that sound like a ordained Baptist or Church of Christ or any other kind of preacher to you? You go to a Baptist church and you say, preacher, would you baptize me? Yes, sir. Let me get your name and also I can write you on this roll so I don't forget who you are. Well, Paul, you losing your mind, son? I thank God I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Verse 15, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not well I baptized any other. Any of y'all been baptized besides me? Do you reckon they wrote your name down somewhere? You reckon if you went back to that preacher, if he's still alive, well, the one that baptized me, he ain't. But if you went back to him and asked him, do you remember baptizing me? I bet you said, well, yes, sir, I remember the day we did it. I remember who was there. I remember who was sitting on the front row up there, cheering you on. Tears coming out their eyes. You know, people put a lot of confidence in being water baptized. If you don't think they do, ask them. Ask them. There ain't too many people put a lot of confidence in trusting that Jesus Christ died for all their sins. They put a lot of confidence in that which they can do for the Lord. It ain't what you can do for Him, it's what He did for you. He gave everything He had. He left heaven's glory and came down here and became what we are. And we're a bunch of sorry, low-down people. Have to watch some of these words that try to slip out. We're a sorry bunch of people. And yet, God Almighty loves me just as much today as He did the day He died for me. He ain't never stopped loving me. And He won't stop loving you either. You know, these little old young'uns have to be chastised every now and then and set on the right path. Sometimes some of us don't get enough of it. The Lord has to chasten us also. And David was asked the question, you want a year of famine? And I may have all this mixed up, but it's in the context. David got in trouble with the Lord. And David was asked by the Lord's man, his angel, do you want 3 days from the Lord's? Or you want to fall in the hand of your enemies? Or you want some pestilence? He said, give me the time of the Lord, maybe it'll be gracious and mercy to me. And that's the way I am. The Lord has mercy for us. And He won't never leave us nor forsake us. Now, watch what He says here. Verse 16 again. I baptize also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any of them, for Christ sent me what? Not to baptize. Was Paul sent by Christ to baptize? What was he sent to do?
Preach.
Not to baptize. Preach the word. be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke with all authority and long-suffering. Why? For the time will come when people won't endure sound doctrine. People don't want sound doctrine today. They want all this singing and all this glory that's going on, fleshly stuff that makes you feel good, and that won't save you. It may make you feel good, but it will not save you. And my job ain't to make you feel good. I don't care if I make you mad. If I thought I could make you mad enough to get saved, I would. Like Paul said, if I set myself on fire, would it help you? Listen, when Jesus Christ loved you and gave himself for you, how can you turn from that? How can you reject what he did for you at Calvary? To go somewhere to play a game or something? God ain't playing games. This thing's going to be over with someday. When this body's full, we're gone out of here, and there won't be no more dispensation of grace. And by the way, when the Lord comes over here in his thousand-year millennial reign, you know why there's peace during that time? Because he rules with a rod of iron. You get out of line over here, it's Katie bar the door. Beloved, if you're sitting here and you ain't saved, please get saved. You know why? You may be the last person that fills up this body. It's like this lost finger I got here. Maybe if that sucker grew back, I'd be a complete body again. If you're sitting here and you ain't saved, we're not a complete body, and God can't take us out of here halfway. He's got to take us all out of here. So if you are not saved, and you're going to get saved, do it this moment. Amen. Trust the Lord as your personal Savior. Yes. Believing that when he died at Calvary, he died for all your sins. We ain't got no baptistry around. There ain't no water baptism thing hid back here. We don't need one. Why? When the minute you trust Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into this body right here. Amen. And you can't get out of it. You're sealed until the day of redemption. Don't let somebody tell you that you can backslide and lose your salvation. You may backslide, but you won't lose your salvation. You'll lose some rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And if you ain't saved, you ain't going out at the judgment seat of Christ. You won't go out in the rapture. If the rapture took place right now, we just left here, who's here? Don't lie to yourself. Who's still sitting here? Can you honestly say, hey, I didn't go? I didn't go. If you're not saved, that is the only answer you can answer. I'm still here. And the only reason I'm here is because I've never trusted Christ as my personal Savior. Then you know what's going to happen? The Antichrist is going to show up. God's going to send you a strong delusion that you'll believe a lie and be damned because you was bad? No. Because you received not the love of the truth that you might be saved. Now is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. This is the day God has set aside for you to be saved. Now, not tomorrow. You may not be here tomorrow. I've had a lot of friends die here this year. Real personal, close friends. Talk to them 1 week, next week they're sick, next week they're dead, buried. You don't know who's next. Went to a funeral. Four of us young boys, we was young then, Dave. We ain't no more. But we grew up together, run together, done all kind of things together, smoked together, and I know the things that I won't tell you, but we did them all. We went to a friend of ours' sister's funeral, and that same day we buried another fella that joined the Marines the same time I did from Mobile, Alabama. This friend of ours that was there took a picture of us four characters. Went to this one of them's. One of the four, we just buried 2 weeks ago. went to his funeral, and one of the fellows that was in that picture said, "Don't take no more picture." And he left. He got gone before we could get his picture. I reckon he's scared he's going to be next. You don't know when you leave in here. And if you leave without a Savior, you're going to bust hell wide open. And don't let somebody tell you there's some place between heaven and hell that you can go to and they can pray you out of it if you've got enough money. There ain't no such thing in this King James Bible. Do you know what purgatory, according to the 1828 English dictionary, says? A supposed place by the Catholic religion. Amen. There ain't no such place in the King James Bible. If you go to Luke 16, that man in Luke 16, when he died, he was a rich man, and he went into hell, and in the flames of hell down there, Lazarus, the beggar, went into. He died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and this rich man sees Lazarus over there asleep in Abraham's bosom, and he said, "Father Abraham," the rich man's a Jew. He said, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus over here, and if he dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, I'm tormented in this flame." You know what Abraham told him? He said, "Son, thou in thy lifetime prospered and had all thy stuff, and this beggar laid at the gate full of sores, and the dogs licked his sores." He said, "He died and he's comforted, and you died and you're in hell." And he said, "Can't nobody go from where I am to where you are, nor where he is to where you are." And he said, "Send five." He said, "I got five brethren up there." He said, "Send somebody up there. At least they come to this awful place of torment." Abraham said, "They can't." Said, "They got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." Well, you got an idiot preacher this morning that's trying to preach to you that you need to be saved. And if you ain't saved, please get saved. We can get out of this world. We can let the people of the world that want it have it. I don't want it. What would I do with it if I had it? You know, if I was a multi-millionaire like some of these politicians claim to be, I'd be dad blamed if I'd be out there fighting to get on to somebody else's problems on my shoulders. I wouldn't want them. Why in the world would I want to be the president of this country? Why? Have to run around with bodyguards and bulletproof glass, afraid somebody's going to blow your head off or something? Yeah, I wouldn't. If I had plenty of money, there wouldn't nobody know where I was at. They wouldn't even know me. I'd be a hermit somewhere. Beloved, if you don't trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to bust hell wide open. So don't let nobody fool you. There ain't no place between here and there. Now, watch what Paul said. Verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." In other words, Paul, was when he first went, he was baptizing people. The Lord met him in, well, I'll tell you what, Duke, go to Acts 22. Let me show you something. Acts 22. Paul is giving his account of what happened in Acts 18. And then Acts 9, he's combining these things. Now, in Acts 9, he goes in, he gets saved in Acts 9, and he's sent to Ananias. Now, because I know some people will use this against you. If you don't know what's going on, they'll bring this up. And they'll also bring up the baptism in Acts 19 and say that Paul baptized some with water. But the scripture doesn't say that. You understand? They have to put that in it. And that ain't what the scripture says. But in Acts 22, come to verse 1, but I don't have time to read all of it, so you study it when you get home. Now verse 7, "And I fell unto the ground." This is happening in Damascus, on the road to Damascus. "And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed a light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said, arise and go into Damascus, and there shall be told thee of what all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, and thou shouldest know of his will, and see the just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Was Paul baptized?
Yes.
Why? Beloved, that's all Ananias knew. He had never heard about spiritual baptism. You see, people that baptize today, they either ain't heard or don't give a flip. I mean, it's just that simple. They go back in, pick up Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, especially Matthew 28 and Mark 16, go into all the world, baptize in my name. The 12 were told to baptize, wasn't they? Was John the Baptist told to baptize? Hold Acts 22 and go with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 29, John 1:29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said after me, cometh a man which fared before me, for he was before me, I knew him not, but that he should be.